Hi, this is Patty Scalzo, and welcome to this edition of Shiar Jashub, coming from Shiar Jashub Christian Tabernacle in Madison, Connecticut, and featuring the teaching ministry of my husband, Pastor Greg Scalzo. Today, we will be continuing a sermon in Pastor's series on the Book of Romans. In this message, Pastor has been clarifying some terms, including what the Bible means when it speaks about the flesh. And we have seen how God created us to be tripartite beings, with a spirit and with a soul and with a body. And the flesh, the physical substance of the body, was part of that original, very good creation. But in the New Testament, the term often comes to mean man's baser sinful nature and the impulse to sin, the flesh acting as the seat of sin in mankind's lost condition. And when we left off, Pastor Greg was referencing man's original state in Genesis to understand how this transition took place. We'll go back a minute for context.
So at this point, the flesh is not deemed as sinful. No demons controlling families, controlling individuals, no legal inheritance of evil, that curse of the generations passing down as the sins of the parents visit the children. There's one simple, very simple illustration I heard when I was first saved. I pass it on to you, but it's such a clear way of seeing Genesis and the book of Romans and understanding what we're going to read in the book of Romans. How man, the way man is made, is like a lamp meant to shine, but without the power innate to do so. Beautiful lamp created to give light, but not having in itself the power to give light, we would manufacture a lamp to be plugged into a power source, to be plugged into an outlet, and once plugged in, it accomplishes its task of shining out. That's the way it's made. It's made to shine as it's plugged into the power source. We are created to be plugged into God. Then, as we're plugged in, as we're in such fellowship, the electricity flows. Even as Jesus said in John chapter 15, the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. The branch has to be in the vine. The lamp has to be plugged into the outlet. Plugged in, God's Holy Spirit has dominion over our spirits. And our spirits, properly connected, now have dominion over our minds. We think the right thoughts. As our hearts are right and in God's spirit, the mind will think the right thoughts. And the mind and the spirit will control the body. And the flesh will act the way it should act. There are many right things programmed for good into us. We just read about the two becoming as one, right? They shall become one flesh, be fruitful and multiply. God created things in us for us to have children. The marriage relationship of the husband and wife. There are programs inside of us for a purpose. Programs in our flesh, that attraction that you have. A husband to a wife to a husband. It's not wrong. It's part of the way God makes us and programs us. But those right desires in the flesh that have a reason, there's many things programmed into us. If you unplug us, if you take us out of fellowship with God, everything goes backward. The lust of the flesh begins to control us. Rather than the spirit and the mind controlling that program in the flesh for what's right, The program has no control over it. We're unplugged. And the body starts to rule the mind. And the mind becomes corrupted. And it starts to rule the heart. And the heart becomes corrupted. And the flesh rules over us. What should be for good becomes bad. And that's why we see that negative connotation in the New Testament, because out of fellowship, out of the Spirit, the flesh becomes the home for all types of things evil that bring a person down. There's no way of having that self-control unless we're plugged into God. Family, society are only structured right, plugged into God. Plugged into God, there is no curse. There is no legal right for demons and unclean spirits to have rule. But unplugged, you have murder, Cain and Abel, fornication, polygamy, violence, the people in the time of Noah. Everything bad rushes in and the flesh goes out of control. And it would seem that the flesh actually becomes a means of passing down tendencies from one generation to another. A sin nature, if you will. A sin nature passing down in the flesh. And how it works exactly, I don't know. How much of it is demons having legal rights over our flesh because of our ancestors? How much of it is an actual change in the DNA, in the flesh? It's hard to say. But now that God is out of the picture, if we're unplugged, as each ancestor opens a door in the spiritual realm, there is a sin nature building up, tendencies building up with each successive generation and being passed on to the next generation, all because the humans are apart from God. You have a world separate from God. You now have a world of sin. And Adam pulled the plug. He pulled the plug. Last time, as I said, I talked about different theological systems based on wrong Greek thinking coming into the church that developed to try to distance Jesus. You know, they try to see, the Greeks want to see everything ordered and structured. And there is order, there is structure, there is logic. God is logical, but our minds sometimes are too small to handle it. So they came up with a lot of systems. In science, they did it, and almost all of them proved wrong. But they wanted to have arrangements. And they, if there is this tendency in human nature, then how do we distance Jesus from it? And so many different ideas came into the church in this effort to try to distance Jesus from what we just discussed, this tendency in the flesh. And one of the questions that would come up was Jesus, I said it last time, was Jesus being born of a virgin declaratory, or was it efficacious in keeping him from sinning? Did it declare that he was sinless, or did it actually, was it actually a means that God used to keep him from sinning? And one of the questions that comes up in theological discussions was, Jesus born without original sin? How do we keep Jesus from original sin? To answer any of these issues, it's important to understand what we mean by sin nature, in the flesh, what we mean by original sin. And you have differences among well-meaning Christians over this. A number of churches view original sin, and here's that Greek methodology again, as an inherited blot. I remember catechism class, they actually would show, you know, the human soul and the kids, you know, the Catholic kids' catechism, and you'd have the blot, that black mark right on the soul. That was the original sin. You got it from Adam. And unless you're baptized in the Catholic Church, you got that blot on you for the rest of eternity. But a lot of churches feel that it's an inherited blot on the individual soul from birth. And the person is so stamped a sinner, seemingly without any responsibility on their part, simply because they are offspring of Adam. However, original sin is the original sin. It's the first sin of Adam. And it's really the source of all the other sins. You know, when you think of what Adam and Eve did, that they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, to us it might not seem like the worst sin, right? You could think of some horrendous things that humans do to humans, the torture, the murder, the rape, the horrible ways people treat other people, and yet this is the original sin. Because it is the source of all the subsequent sins. It's what unplugs mankind from God and lets all the rest flood in. So that in the next generation, you do have murder. Several generations down, you have violence, polygamy, fornication, a world so bad that God says he almost repents of making man. That's how important that original understanding, that original sin is. It's the sin originally committed by Adam and Eve, though Adam, as the authority figure, as the one that had the responsibility, is the one that sealed the impact. And that's why Paul speaks about Adam's sin in the book of Romans. And what is that sin? Namely, it's the desire to be like God, to be your own God. Only God can be God. When we want to be our own God, what do? We're pulling out the plug, right? Look in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 4. Then the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." You will be like God. The original sin, the desire to be like God. Not to be like God when we said we want to be like Jesus, we want to do what's right. To be like God, to be the ruler. Adam is given great authority here. Every beast, any animal, the whole earth belongs to Adam and Eve. But it's not enough. Now he wants to become like the creator. And the action mirrors the attitude, because in order to do it, he has to be disobedient to what God has told him, right? And that disobedience shows, well, I think I know better, right? I think I know better than God. God said no, and I think I know better. Because really, I would really like to be my own God. I'd like to control my own life. I don't want someone else telling me what I have to do. And that rebellion to disobey God, to make themselves ruler over their own lives in place of God, that's the original sin. And it's critical, because even though it may not seem to us, a small action, a very small action, saying, look, I want to do it my way, lets in all the horrendous things you can think of. Because we're not made to be unplugged. We're made to be plugged in, because we're not. We can't create the heavens and the earth. We can't create our spirits. He is. He makes us in his image to have fellowship with him, but it only works when we're plugged into him, because he is that he is.
Listen to Pastor Greg Scalzo on the web at shiarjashub.org and watch the live streams of our Sunday service on the Shiar Jashub Christian Tabernacle YouTube channel.